Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Our land needs healed, folks. And if it's going to get healed, it's going to come from God's people that are called by his name. So that's a little thought tonight on the great need that we have. The church must have a revival. It's not a matter of wishing we had one, we could use one. It's a matter of a necessity at this junction in life. If we do not have a Holy Ghost revival, folks, we are losing people and kids by the thousands because of the lack of the attraction of the Holy Spirit. For he said, no, you can't even be saved unless he draw you. And we have seen in past gone by years, people just driving by the church. And the conviction would be so strong, they'd have to pull in the parking lot. And they'd come in and they'd find the Lord. God get us back to a level of spirituality that it can be felt oozing out of the doors of this church. That people driving by this street out here that has a need in their life, that would check them, and they'd come in, and they wouldn't find something just a pew to fill, but they'd find an altar and people that will pray with them and find deliverance from their needs. That's what we're looking for. There's movements on today that's trying to promote revival. Revival's not something you can advertise, neither can you promote it. It's sent by God when a church has prepared their hearts and made themselves ready. When we have fasted and we have prayed and we have become hungry for nothing less than a move of God, he will show up. For he that hunger and thirst shall be filled. He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly before him. We need a revival. It's a necessity that we have one. But there is movements of a mimic of revival that's taken away the seriousness of what it really means and what it really is. I've got some friends. We used to preach a camp meeting up in Kokomo, Indiana, a huge church up in that direction. We preached camp meeting every year for several years and until the old fella passed away. And after that, then they go to new tactics and new things, trying to fill the place up. But one of the guys still calls me every now and then. Oh, he said, one of the greatest things in the world is some guys come out of Texas, and it's called Ignite Indiana. They're going to ignite Kokomo. And they went to the factories, and they went to the schools, and they went around everywhere. And it was come as you are. It didn't really matter how you lived as long as you attend church. We're going to make this church user-friendly. These last days is going to be tolerance, and we're going to accept anything. I'm going to tell you, anything needs to come in the church and sit on that pew and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to condone anything that's coming down the pike now is not what God intended. If this book is against it, folks, the church ought to be against it also. Don't be tolerant just to get people on your pews. Don't get tolerant with sin and compromise that they can come and be comfortable. Whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Church of Christ, or a Catholic, many of them want you to be comfortable on your pews. We are Pentecostal, and if that bothers you, you got a problem, not us. That's what we are. Amen. Not going to compromise just so that we can fill a pew and have a number. It's not about numbers. God was never interested in quantity. He was always sincere about quality. You can pack a building out, but if you don't get them into the kingdom of God, you've got a crowd, but you don't have a church. Our need for revival, we want to ignite this. We're trying to ignite stuff that is not exactly what God wants to set on fire. You know what I mean? We want God to approve and sanction things that he will not approve of. He can't anoint some things. You may get there, folks, but that character is not going to leave you there because God can't anoint those things. We're looking and needing for revival. It is a fanning of the flame, a rekindling of the fire.
the fire of the Lord that is he has chosen to never go out in the house of God. We need the Holy Spirit to breathe afresh on the embers and flames of Pentecost until we can hoist our sails and go where He takes us as a church. The world is dying for a move of God, and the only God they're going to see is in your life and in the way that you live your life. The only Christ they'll ever know is the one that you tell them about. Where there was no king in Israel, they all become libertarians. Don't you tell me that's what you are. That means tolerance. Young man, son-in-law to a pastor over in our area, left his father-in-law's church, said he's a libertarian. You know, anybody ought to be able to live the way they want to. You ought to be, if you're gay, you ought to be able to be gay. The Lord will sanction that. I got news for you, buddy. I don't care what denomination and flag you're flying under. It's a sin and abomination in the sight of God. He won't bless it, neither will He sanction it. I don't care how many times you put it in church. I don't care if it's the choir director. I don't care if it's a deacon of your church. I don't care if it's your pastor. Sin is sin, folks. That's the way it goes. That I'm trying to say is, anything goes. If it feels good, do it. That might be the world's cry, but God forbid that it ever become a Pentecostal church's cry of acceptance and tolerance so we can fill a pew and build a number so the people in this town can think, my, they are really doing good. I've seen churches with tolerance. I've seen them try to make user-friendly churches where you could come and everybody fit in. After a while, this one splits and that one splits. That one goes over there and starts a church. This one goes over here and starts a church. They just, they are sheep herders. You know, they are sheep rustlers. They're not building the kingdom of God. They're just taking somebody else's sheep from here to there. God help us to realize not my job to do anything more than to support my pastor and believe what God said and realize that the only thing that's going to matter is not whether I have my way and split and go over here and split and go over there. It matters whether God is in what we are doing or not. Doesn't matter, folks. Well, it's not have it your way. This ain't McDonald's. It ain't Burger King. It ain't that the way. We must get to a place in our life to where it's all about Him and not about us. Most of our church world, that fire is a dying ashes. And nobody wants to allow the winds of the Holy Spirit to fan the embers into a flame again. Because for the most part, they don't want that Holy Spirit to move with fire because it is a refining fire. When it shows up, it separates us until the world no longer sees us, but it sees Him. We got a church over home, run a big ad in the papers, had come to our church. You'll never hear the old rugged cross sung. And I thought, my Lord, it is bringing us to the foot of that cross. Until that cross can deal with our lives, that makes us the Christians we ought to be. Amen. It is that cross, when you get there and you kneel at the foot of that, it searches the depths of your life. If there's something in there that shouldn't be, it becomes exposed to you. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And there you stand before that cross. If you can eliminate the cross, if you can eliminate the blood, if you can eliminate this infilling of the Holy Spirit, you can do as you please and be comfortable on a pew. But when you face that cross and the Holy Spirit deals with your life, you cannot sit there unchanged and unmoved. Brings us to the cross where the cross deals with us on our pride and selfishness until it's no longer about us, but it's all about Him. When that happens, Vernon, they'll always be here on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights when the Holy Spirit has allowed His rightful place in our hearts. Church, glory of the Lord will show up and do wonders. not going to read it, but in 1 Kings 8 and 10, they was getting ready to dedicate that temple, and the priest was ordered to bring that Ark of the Covenant and put it in that temple. That Ark of that Covenant represented the presence of God. It represented when David had to go down there and he get it. The only reason he wanted, it was the presence of God, what it represented. And over there, when he was dedicating that temple, the priests went in, and when they placed that Ark representing the presence of the Lord. You know, we become that Ark in these latter days. We are the carrier of that Spirit. We are the alabaster box of the perfume of heaven. You hear me? It is the Holy Spirit that is birthed in our lives that we are carrying about the promises of God, the love of God, the attributes of God, who He is. When you take on Him as your Lord and Savior, you're a representative to this world, because what's in you is become Him. And they see anything, they'll see Him. Amen. He said they put that Ark in there, and when it come out, that cloud settled into that place, and the glory fell until they could no longer even minister because of the glory of God. I say, God, pre-baptize us with the Holy Ghost. May we become the carrier of the Spirit. May it become the infectious Spirit inside of us that'll get on somebody beside of us, somebody behind us. May the world see us and say, I want what they've got. May what we contain in our lives be broken by Him until the perfume of that alabaster box begins to get into everybody around us. Oh, and that little lady broke that box and that ointment poured out upon our Savior. It got into everybody's clothes in that house. It got into their hair. When they was walking down the street, they knew they'd been in the presence of God because there was an aroma about them. We are the carrier of that Holy Spirit. If we'll allow Him to have His rightful place, the glory of the Lord will fill the house of God with conviction, with healing, with deliverance. He will fill this house and run it over to the streets with the promise that the world needs. I say, Lord, do it again. It's hard to keep looking on the dry, parched fields where the latter rain once fell. Let me pause a minute. We seen in days gone by some outpourings that was unbelievable, which was supposed to be the norm and not the exception. In the Old Testament, it was a trickle here and a trickle there. But in that New Testament, it was a pouring out. It was a gushing forth. It was a river flowing out of that Holy Spirit through your life that was unquenchable. It was something the world needed, something that they must have. We've seen Him fall many times, but I'm here to tell you, it's not a matter of what happened 40 years ago. He is the God of today and this hour. It's ever fresh. He is ever new. He's meeting needs on your level at wherever you're at. You can have more of Him when He can have more of you. When you are emptied of self, you have now become a candidate to be filled of Him. I don't know about you. I've made enough messes in my life. I'd rather it be all about Him than nothing about me. I'd rather it all inside be Him. I don't care if you like me and the girls or not. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes it real. It's not about us. It's all about Him. How hard it is to look on them parched fields where the latter rain once fell. But if we could look a little bit higher up, we could see that God has a shower of rain for First Pentecostal. If you could look beyond the dry fields and the parts of lands of other churches around, you would see that God has a rain about ready to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Elijah went down there and called in Baal's false prophets. They had them a little false prophet killing, got rid of them. Hadn't rained in a long time. They were parched land and dry land. Elijah told Ahab, said, go home. Eat your supper, boy. Kick your feet up, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I ain't seen it yet, but I hear the sound of it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He went down there and climbed up there on Mount Carmel, dropped to his knees, put his face in his hand, and told his servant, said, go check the skies, boy. I heard the sound. I want to see a sign. Hallelujah. I already know it's there. I want somebody else to get in on this. I already know, Pastor, what the will of God for First Pentecostal is, but I want other people to get in on this deal. I've already seen that cloud. I've already heard that rain. I know what God wants to do here. I'm just waiting on somebody else to see the same cloud, feel the same spirit, hear the same rumbling in the heavens, that God has something better that he's about ready to pour out on us. Servant went back, he said, go seven times. He come back the seventh time. He said, Master, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand coming up out of that water down there. He said, you run until Ahab, it's going to rain. The only person that saw the cloud was the man looking for it. You know, men, these, I call them girls, but they're older than I am, and I'm older than dirt. Their social security number is 1 and 2. But it's a, forget that. It's to see, and the only person saw it was the one looking for it. We went to church when we were kids expecting the dead to get up. We saw more miracles in our own house than we saw in a lot of churches. Amen. It was a spirit of expectation. Come expecting something. Now, don't blame me for this. Blame B.H. Clendenin. He said he asked that old boy, said, he said, I never come to church expecting anything. He said, you ever been disappointed? He said, not a time. You don't come expecting nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. We come expecting. We was at camp meeting 1 year, and they brought this little kid in. Had braces from here all the way down. Mama carried the little kid up on the platform. The minister of that day told that mama, said, you believe God can heal that child? She said, yeah, the reason I brought her here, come expecting something. I believe that. He said, sit down and take the braces off that kid. That mama said, on there, he went about doing, praying for people, doing about his business. After he got the braces off of that little girl, me and these girls saw that little child run across that platform on the other side of it and was gloriously healed. Amen. Story, Oral Roberts in his heyday many years ago was doing a great tent crusade. Little girl was paralyzed, couldn't walk. She told her mama, said, I'm going to that revival meeting. God's going to do something for me. So she told her, said, Mama, go by the store. You get me a little white socks, and give me a pair of that, it got that one lace on it, a black patent leather shoes. Mama said, what do you need them for? Can't walk. Yeah, I need them. So she went that night and went across the little platform, carrying her box under her arm. Robert said, darling, what'd you come for? The mama told him, said, well, said she can't walk. She brought this box, and in here is her socks and her shoes. He said, "Darling, sit down right there. Put them on. Mama, you help her if you need to." Little girl struggled. Get them paralyzed little limbs up. Got that little white sock on. Put that little white, black patent leather shoe on. Mama buckled it up. Still, that little leg fell down just like a dish rag. Got the other on, and when she put the last buckle in, she come off of that seat, run off of that platform, because she come with an expectant spirit that God's going to do something tonight. I pray all the First Pentecostal would show up here Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Expect God's going to do something tonight. I got to be there to see what it is. I want to be part of it. I want to be in on it. God has abundance of rain ready to hit this place. Only the man looking for that cloud is going to see it. I'm looking for it tonight. I need an outpouring of that Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We need another move of God. Hallelujah. God, do it again in a God-hating, Christ-rejecting world, not so dissimilar to ours. Hallelujah. Not so unusual in our world today. Christ came and lived among us. And he's told them folks, he said, "Boys, you're going to need something more than what you got if you're going to make it. You're going to need something more than the religious temple up here. You're going to need something more than the law to carry you through." He done told Nicodemus, "Yeah, I know you're a church going boy, and I know you know all the law, and I know all about that." But he said, "Boy, you've got to be born again." He said, "He's got something more than that church up yonder. We're going to turn this world upside down. There's something more than that." He told him, said, "You're going to have to go. You tarry. I'm going to send you something that'll carry you through it all." They left there. They climbed the steps into that upper room, about 120 of them, 400 and something. They didn't buy into it. Went into obscurity. We don't know what happened to that bunch. And now everybody going to buy into your vision, Pastor. Ain't everybody going to see the cloud because they ain't going to look for it. I need a cloud, folks. I need some rain. I ain't talking about what's been falling the last few days. I saw Buna's cats going up the road two by two the other day. Got bad, I'm telling you. Wet. That ain't the kind of rain we need. We're talking about a spiritual influx that will saturate us with his will in our lives to make us effective for a world that is lost and dying and going to hell. They climbed up there. They got in one mind. You can't get Pentecostals to do this anymore, but they got in one mind and one accord. I didn't come see who's wearing what dress. I didn't come see who changed the hairstyle. I didn't come to see who showed up for this or that or the other. I just come to get the blessing God told me was going to be there. I don't care what's going on the right and the left. I just come for one reason. If you can get 120 people to show up for that one reason, there will be another upper room outpouring of the Spirit of God. They got in unity. They got to praying. They didn't know what the baptism was. They didn't know what the comforter was. And all of a sudden, suddenly, there was an interruption. I pray God, those of us that's looking for that cloud, those of us that's hearing the abundance of rain, those of us that are expecting God to dump something out on us, I pray suddenly he shows up in your home, in your life, in that hospital room. Oh, hallelujah. He shows up at your point of need. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, the rushing mighty wind filled all that house wherein they were sitting. Cold of tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Hallelujah. They walked out of there, B.H. Clendon, and said, with nothing but a tongue of fire and filled with the Holy Ghost, turned the world upside down or right side up simply because of one thing. They saw a cloud. They felt a rain. They were saturated by his promises. Hallelujah. Can you say with all sincerity, Marcia, come on. Can you say with all sincerity, I'm hungry for a move of God to save my family? Now, folks, Pastor told you this wasn't scheduled. While we're here, only God knows, but I am going to tell you one thing. It was intended to give you a message that God has abundance of rain ready. I'm sure Ethel and Marcy can remember, and many of you, Brother Gilpin back here, over on the other street, youth revival broke out, lasted forever. People were saved. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. You couldn't stop that if you tried, because it was not man-made. It wasn't pumped up, advertised. It wasn't on the billboard. It was just simply hungry hearts wanting to see a cloud fill a rain. And it poured out. All I can say, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me. I'm hungry till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up. He said, if my people call by my name, if my people will, I will. If my people will, I will. Somebody said, I'm just waiting on God, send revival. No, He's waiting on you. Already paid the price, waiting on us to come in line with the relationship experience with Him to where He can unobstructedly pour His Spirit in and through our lives. Hallelujah. All to be filled with that latter rain. Can you say tonight, here's my cup, fill it up. I want to see a move of God. Can we say as a church tonight, Lord, that rain we're hearing off in the distance, that little thunder we've been hearing, let it fall. Let it fall on me. Let revival start with me. The only thing that'll break the addictions of your family, the only thing that will deliver, is a move of God. Tonight He stands with outstretched arms, ready to pour it out. I hear a sound. As a church, can we gather around this altar? Can we gather and say, Lord, I'm hungry. I want to see that revival. I want to hear that rain. I want to see that cloud. I want to be used as a weapon and an instrument to reach my family and to reach my neighbors. Send a revival to First Pentecostal. If you're that hungry, the table's spread. Would you come tonight? Marcia sings.